Hey friends, welcome back to the Journal Feed. My name is Nick Zelt, and this is the only place to get spoon-fed the latest and greatest of emergency medicine. We just want to make keeping up on the literature easy for you guys. And to do that, we spoon-feed it to you. Now, if you're hearing this right now, then you are not currently a Journal Feed subscriber, and so will not be receiving the full Journal Feed podcast, only getting a portion of the past week's articles. If you would like to get full access to both the podcast and the blog, then you'll have to become a member. All the details for that are at journalfeed.org. And remember, we never want money to be a barrier to better patient care. So if you're having any trouble affording a subscription, get in touch. We'll help you out. This is the audio version of the past week summaries, which this week were brought to you by our authors, Samuel Rouleau, Michael Stoker, Megan Hilbert, Sam Parnell, Nicholas Sreika, and Clay Smith. So without further ado, I bring you the first article, which was titled Low-Dose Ketamine versus Morphine in the Treatment of Acute Pain in the Emergency Department, a meta-analysis of 15 randomized control trials out of the American Journal of Emergency Medicine. As always, we're always on the lookout for some kind of replacement for opioids in the emergency department. But more than that, we're also very happy to find new uses for ketamine anywhere that we can. So why not use ketamine to try to replace opioids? Low-dose ketamine provides some decent analgesic effect in low doses. We're talking 0.15 to 0.3 milligrams per kilogram. 0.3 is pretty much the threshold to start having some psychomimetic effects. And 0.5 milligrams per keg, then we're getting into the kind of dissociation territory. Now, obviously, many people have already thought about this and tried to use ketamine to manage acute pain, which is why we can meta-analyze this question. These authors found 15 studies that randomized IV or intranasal ketamine against IV morphine. The dose of morphine used was always 0.1 milligram per kg, which is pretty appropriate. And the dose of ketamine, well, it ranged from 0.1 to 0.5 milligrams per kg. The primary outcome was pain on a numeric rating scale, but they also looked at visual analog scale and adverse events. As a whole, I think ketamine actually performed amazingly. Ketamine was as effective as morphine for time points out to 120 minutes. That's great. Honestly, the study kind of frames it as negative, but I'd call this a big win. Sure, it would be nice if ketamine was better than opioids, but opioids, I mean, they're the backbone of pain management still. And here we have something that's just as effective out to 2 hours. Ketamine also had slightly more completely resolved pain at 15 minutes. Plus, there were less adverse events with ketamine. With doses like this, there were not many overall, and it was mostly just providing a little bit of oxygen, but still there was less with ketamine. There was no respiratory or cardiac arrests. Now, it's actually kind of inconvenient that ketamine doesn't last as long as morphine. Technically, the half-lives are actually quite similar, but ketamine quickly redistributes out of the CNS and into the periphery, so there goes your effects. Biggest problem here, though, is that mostly it's given IV, and giving multiple doses of intranasal, well, that kind of sucks for the patient. So it doesn't really offer me a good exit strategy for my patient when they're leaving the emergency department. Morphine, at least, I can offer, you know, PO. The most common use I see for ketamine for pain management in the emergency department is for sickle cell patients who often get infusions. We can do infusions, of course, in the emergency department. That would solve our half-life problems, actually. But, you know, it still doesn't offer an exit strategy. Now, all to say, this meta-analysis really offers ketamine as a promising analgesic. My biggest qualm is getting people off of it, and then I'm probably still going to be left giving them opioids. Unless they're going to the ICU, of course, then we can continue that infusion. Maybe in the rest of the hospital. It's going to depend on protocols, honestly, from that perspective. In a spoonful, a meta-analysis of 15 randomized trials found that ketamine had a quicker analgesic effect than morphine, but morphine had longer-lasting pain control past 120 minutes. And then we skip to the third article. Titled, The Use of Topical Anesthetics in the Management of Patients with Simple Corneal Abrasions, Consensus Guidelines from the American College of Emergency Physicians, out of the Annals of Emergency Medicine. Now, I've never really thought this should be the hill for me to die on, and now I luckily don't have to. In the emergency department, we see quite a few corneal abrasions. We see them all the time. And it sucks for patients, but it's mostly a pretty benign diagnosis. It just hurts for the most part. But if they're simple and not too big, then most of them will just heal overnight without any consequence. Whether or not you give antibiotics, that's kind of another story, but that's also pretty easy to do. What the patients really hate, though, is the pain. And I've had many patients beg me for something better than a little bit of Advil to control their pain. I remember actually I had one case of a patient who was supposed to give a eulogy later that day. And because her eye was so painful, it watered so much that she didn't think she'd be able to read her speech. Now, come on. How do you say no to someone like that when you're holding the solution to their pain right there in your hand? And you've likely already relieved their pain to do your exam. So they know it works. A drop or two of topical anesthetics, works magic on these patients. You know it's not dangerous for use less than 24 hours. I know it's not that dangerous. All the data seems to say so as well. And you can always leave that tiny dropper out in the open and the patient could just magically walk away with it. Or you can kind of man up and you can give it to the patient. But I say all this, and yet it'd be nice to have some support for doing this kind of thing. And I know that most people aren't going to do things unless guidelines are going to be supporting them, especially when there's some controversy about things like this. And I'd say that's a very fair way to practice, especially for things that are outside of your sort of like your focus and your expertise within emergency medicine. Of course, I say all this because now you do have some support, and in a little bit of a funny way. This paper was originally supposed to be a joint statement from both ASEP and the American Academy of Ophthalmology, but not everybody agreed. What they had here was a working group which was tasked with reviewing the literature on topical anesthetic toxicity for corneal abrasions and coming up with some conclusions by Delphi method. They ended up with the recommendation that for simple corneal abrasions, it's safe to provide topical anesthetics for pain control to be used every 30 minutes, PRN, for no longer than 24 hours, and to not dispense more than 2 milliliters of topical anesthetic. This strategy has demonstrated a reduction in pain and is really quite safe with those limitations. Most scary complications only arise after about 4 days of use. And in which case, if they have pain for more than 4 days, they definitely have something more than a simple corneal abrasion. Keep in mind, these recommendations are only for adults. Anyways, these recommendations were presented to ASAP and the American Academy of Ophthalmology, but the American Academy of Ophthalmology did not support the recommendations, while ASAP did. Good thing we're not as bound to the ophthalmology guidelines as we are to our own. Really, I think this was the evidence-based thing to do. And while there wasn't really any level A evidence to support this, there certainly still was evidence. I would theorize that the ophthalmologists, they're scared by the heavily biased patient sample that they see on a day-to-day. They never see the majority of corneal abrasions, which are the ones that we see, deal with on our own, and send home, and they never see an ophthalmologist. Although, to be fair, they're also probably more aware of the true consequences of complications when they do occur. So, that all said, I'm still all for a little bit of topical anesthetics, and I will consider this case by case for my patients. In a spoonful, the ASEP consensus seems to indicate that it may be safe for patients with simple corneal abrasions to go home with 24 hours usage of topical anesthetics for pain relief. But the ophthalmologists do not seem to support this decision. All right, that's all the articles from this week. What did we learn today? From the first article, ketamine given IV is just as good, if not quicker, than morphine IV for almost the first 120 minutes for acute pain management. Makes it pretty tempting to use, I would say, despite the need for redosing. It kind of often, quite often, too often. Then from the third article, ASAP supports giving small amounts of topical anesthetics for corneal abrasions for no longer than 24 hours. Again, if you are hearing this right now, then you are not a part of the members feed, and so you missed 3 articles from this past week. One of them was about epi and airway management. They both come at the same time in the ACLS algorithm. Which one should you prioritize? Then we had another article about how risky is it when elderly people hit their heads? What if that's the only risk factor they have, being elderly? And then finally, a meta-analysis on eCPR. What is the verdict so far? Links to all the articles summarized can be found at journalfeed.org, where the newsletter is the best way to make the podcast into a bite-sized nugget of spaced repetition, so that you get exposed to all of this research more than once, and then you do not forget it, and you can apply it in your life. Our goal here is for you to read less, learn more, and save lives, one spoonful at a time. Thank you.